When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to The Ruck. This is the one part of the Lions Tour that continues to thrive. I am here with some elite rugby journalists and we have had some week. Steve, how has it been for you?
Well, it's been excellent. First of all, hi to everybody in civilization in the old country. It's been a great week. I mean, the Lions have not been that fantastic yet, but the culture of this great country is growing on me. When I woke up this morning and opened my bedroom door, the chambermaids are all up, performing a haka. I had to stand there to obviously accept the challenge. I then went to the lift where all the lift operators were standing with a challenging haka, and of course I stood there for ages accepting the challenge. I went downstairs to the breakfast room where all the waiters and waitresses were in a big line with their tongues lolling and their eyes bulging performing a haka. And of course I had to take that challenge, and then all the taxi drivers were outside the front door, Maurice Anpakehas performing a haka and challenging me, and of course I accepted it before going about my business and going to the chemist.
Also with us in the studio this evening is Nick Kane, one of the finest and oldest rugby writers known to man, and Tom Hamilton, the rugby correspondent of ESPN. Nick, what sort of week have you had?
For myself, the great thing was at Eden Park, obviously not the result for the Lions, but the fact that a stadium which is normally a mausoleum was actually buzzing and full for about the first time for the Blues for the best part of a decade, I think.
My highlight was I saw Richie McCaw on the plane today, but that's not the highlight. That was just an anecdote. Yesterday, a magnificent thing happened. I got my laundry back. Anyone who's done these tours will know that running out of smalls is one of the greatest concerns that can happen. Some people get spear tackled. Some people have an ankle strain like Sam Warburton. But when your socks run short on a tour like this, it's desperate times. Tom, you've had an absolutely brilliant tour so far. What has been the highlight?
Well, it had to be, I think, the Knights and Pie here on Sunday. An afternoon of filing in the Duke of Marlborough over in Russell, sampling a few of the local vines and so forth, and then a nice little ferry over where two of us nearly fell over. Unfortunately, though, we're still here. But it was quite an evening in Pie here.
Is it the case that the man from the Telegraph slightly let himself down with Sauvignon Blanc?
Absolutely not. No.
Well, I'm pleased to hear it, because certainly in the News International department of rugby coverage, nothing like that would ever happen. We're now going to move on from laundry and the haka to the state of the tour, really. In all seriousness, I don't think anyone has seen a Lions tour on the rocks or in such an unsteady situation so early into its into the tour. Steve and Nick, you would both have an opinion on that, having covered every tour since the turn of the 19th century.
I'll tell you what, I've seen lots of Lions tours on the rocks. This is a little bit more on the rocks than some, but a little less than others. You've got to remember that, we've always said, that the preparation time for these is way down than what it used to be. In 1983, when I first came on a Lions tour at the age of seven, we thought then that the preparation was terrible, and they had 4 weeks off to rest, 2 weeks off to train, 1 week in New Zealand. And you know, this tour is not on the rocks. It's just absolutely underprepared and undercooked, and people don't know where the guy on their right or the guy on their left is meant to be. And you know, everybody said Rory Best threw dreadfully into the last line out at Eden Park yesterday. Well, he did, but there was no lift, there was no jump, and it's just because they are undercooked and underprepared, like most of the food we've had in New Zealand. So there's a lot of time to go yet. They've lost one, may well lose another, but the tests are not over yet because they're not even played.
I've got a lot of agreement with that viewpoint. I think that in the past, teams have been here and have bombed out in provincial games and have sprung a surprise when it comes to the tests, England notably in the amateur era in 1973. But I think that one of the clearest things here is that the locals, are the New Zealanders, are insufferably arrogant, and I got a strong feeling that one of the Lions' best chances is that they almost box themselves into a corner with their arrogance and are actually surprised by what the Lions come up with in the Test series.
On the subject of arrogance, the famous Kiwi journalist Jock McFrock was speaking in, I think it was the maybe the New Zealand Herald this morning, and Jimmy McFrock, I'm sorry. A noted Kiwi journalist. I think he may have been from Scotland originally, but he clearly thinks it's going to be 3-0 and with a margin of 70 points. So we'll have to see. But arrogance is possibly the word for it. But respect for the Lions, very thin on the ground at the moment.
The line was that the tour was teetering on the brink of disaster. Tom, as disasters go, the Lions haven't really started yet. Do you think that we can say that this is all downhill from here, or can you see a turnaround?
Well, it was interesting seeing Steve Hansen earlier today, who called it the impossible task, insofar as the way they've started with this, being here 4 days, I'm still jet lagged, and this is day eight. I was just transcribing an interview and wrote the same paragraph 3 times, each with different typos. So, I mean, there's not a lot of change there, but it's been such a difficult build up, so little preparation time. They're in fast forward. They're trying to bring together 4 nations in a ridiculously short amount of time. There's a danger that it's been commercial over rugby so far. And I think, judging by exactly how they played on Wednesday, there were improvements. They've got to really, really step things up in terms of building a game plan and some cohesion.
That interview with Steve Hansen was fascinating, wasn't it? I mean, he doesn't mind laying the boot in. He's very happy to criticise the tour and the nature of it. As you said, he said that the Lions have placed commercialism ahead of high performance. He also said that the Lions would expect to beat the Crusaders tomorrow. He said a test team should beat a franchise team. So he put a bit of pressure on there. He also gave Dear Warren a good old kicking, didn't he? Laughing at his suggestion that there wouldn't be any step up from Super Rugby to Test Rugby. So he's playing a game, the home coach in that respect, and keeping the pressure on in a big way. Boys, let's talk about the game. Was the Lions' performance as tragic as the media here would suggest? Or was there, in that performance, the foundation for them to build something concrete from here on in?
I think there's definitely a foundation in terms of if they concentrate on their strengths in terms of their power at close quarters, their set piece, strength, I think that they've definitely got an opportunity to put the Kiwi sides under the pump.
One of the problems was, it's certainly not panic stations for me, Owen, but one of the things that really struck home was how awfully average Auckland were. Everybody said they were going to be fantastic, and yet they weren't. And that, for me, is more significant than the Lions not clicking very well. The Lions should have won easily against not a very good side. Incidentally, with regard to your previous point, if anyone thinks what Steve Hansen's coming up with is in any way adult or significant, they must be joking. It's the sort of thing that when you were nine in the playground, you'd blow raspberries with your lips to someone. It's about that standard.
Well, that's tomorrow morning's Times front back page written off. Thank you, Steve.
No problem at all. Will there be a check in the post for me?
Tom, one thing that the Lions have been talking about and making everyone scratch their heads a little bit is the fact that we or they are going to beat the world with X Factor Rugby, or Rugby Chaos, as Rob Howley called it, I think, nine times in one single press conference. It was the strong and stable of rugby PR. The evidence of X Factor in that performance against the Blues was absent in totality, I think. Is that just nonsense, or is that just waffle to fill the airwaves by the Lions, or do you think they seriously think that they can conjure up a magic game plan out of nowhere?
I think talk of X Factor is probably a little bit wider than the mark. I think the Lions will just stick to what they're good at. Warren Gatland's an incredibly clever coach. He hasn't won all of those things without being a wonderful man manager. They're going to stick to what they're good at, which is physicality, and then carving out openings for the back three if and when it presents itself. You've got Owen Farrell, who's up there with Beauden Barrett in terms of the best fly halves in the world. They'll play to their strengths. They'll end up...
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Playing territory, they'll keep the pressure on, and then try and play some sort of counter-attacking rugby, which we saw from Wales last summer against the All Blacks. That caused them a lot of difficulty with the likes of Liam Williams really stretching their legs. In terms of X Factor, I think it's quite a broad brush term for trying to find some sort of cohesion in the backs. They definitely did lack a cutting edge against the Blues last night. They squandered overlaps. There were times when they kept the foot on the Blues' throat, but just couldn't get through the line at the end. Henshaw squandered a couple of chances. You know, even the wingers are looking a little bit off colour so far. Liam Williams was far too excited when he came on. But it's something which will take time. It just needs to keep them. They need to stick to what they're good at. Trust in Gatland, and it will all hopefully come good.
Okay, let's go around our esteemed panel now. A player from the game who you thought excelled and should be in the test team, or certainly in consideration, Steve.
Well, I mean, this is not hardly new that Maro Itoje should be in the test team, but I thought Yet again, he crosses every bridge he comes to. And I thought they tried to put him off his game. There was obviously a lot of verbals going on. I thought he was tremendous. I would still rather that they considered him as a blindside flanker, just have him in the team with another big lock. Courtney Laws is obviously good. Maro Itoje, for me, continues to tick every box that comes along. And as far as his poetry goes, that's absolutely sublime and blissful as well.
Nick?
Thought his partner in crime, Courtney Laws, was outstanding against the Blues. Got over the gain line every time he had the ball. And I think that in terms of test locks, it's obviously hugely competitive because Steve's spoken about Maro Itoje. You've obviously also got Alan Wynne-Jones. And so it's it looks like a hugely
great, great mic technique there by Lord Reith Kane as he hands over the microphone while still talking.
So for me, coming into this tour, there was one clear test scrum half candidate in Conor Murray, but I think Reece Webb did his chances no harm last night, put in a very assured performance, kick well, good game management. And I think Gatland now has a tough choice to make between the two of them. I still predicts that Conor Murray will be there in the test shirt on June the 24th, but Reece Webb will definitely have given him food for thought last night.
Okay, just one more thought on we're sitting here above on the 10th floor in our 10th floor studios, and we're looking out over Christchurch. And 2011, there was this horrific earthquake, and just to be serious for a moment, on subsequent visits, the old town has looked a shambles, but just walking around today, it's nice to see that signs of recovery, buildings coming back to life, the insurance company, the bastards have finally paid out for some time, so that's and that's really good too. So it's nice to be back in Christchurch, and clearly the building workers, when we saw them lined up in a hacker which we faced down, a very nice gesture of the Maori building workers, but it's great to be back and looking at the city, looking more like a city again.
Yeah, I agree, though I still find it seriously sad, tragic that there's no test match here. We've come here for a warm-up game. The city's nowhere near prepared for a test match again. Every Lions series since 1930s has had a test match here. And they're not even confident they'll get another one in 12 years' time. So, sad, somber, and I love what a big rugby occasion does for a city and can do for the economy, and that's not going to happen this time round. Tom?
Well, I'm just thinking back 3 years when England came here to play against the Crusaders. That was a really, really remarkable occasion. It was the first time, I think, that an international team had come here since the earthquake. It was a brilliant occasion, and I know from chatting to Leon McDonald a couple of days ago that the city's really looking forward to Saturday's game. And what better time for them with an unbeaten Crusaders team as well, who finally look like they may well break that Super Rugby duck. But I'm certainly looking forward to it, and it's going to be a wonderful occasion.
Okay, so that was a really beautiful segue that no one wrote. It just came naturally. So from Christchurch on to the Crusaders. Nick, you're a Crusaders specialist. How many All Blacks are in the Crusaders? Is it 37 or 38?
45, I believe, Slotty. But they've got a tight five, which is based almost exclusively on the All Blacks tight five, with Franks, Cody Taylor, Moody, Sam Whitelock, and obviously the Lions are going to have their work cut out massively against a pack of that strength. We saw them a few weeks ago take on the Hurricanes with, you know, the wonder kid Beauden Barrett, and their forwards completely wrapped the game up by making sure that the Hurricanes were on the back foot throughout, and Barrett really didn't get a look in. So it will be more a trial of strength up front than probably the Lions will face anywhere else in outside the tests.
Okay, quick, go around the panel. Do we think that the Lions will win this game on Saturday, Tom?
I think they're going to push them close, but I think the Crusaders will win.
Steve?
I think that it's going to be the Lions game, as I proved with my brilliant insight into the Masters with a huge investment on Sergio Garcia. I am on seriously on the Lions with Mr. W. Hill this time. I am convinced that I will be cashing in on Saturday night after the Lions have put the tour on the road in Christchurch with a win over Super Rugby's finest.
And the Moose.
I'd love to see the Lions win, but I think that this one's going to be beyond them. And I think that it will really, the Lions will really, their traction will come when it comes to the Test series.
One more thing that I think we shouldn't forget, there are other games coming up, Wales and Tonga, for instance. And Tom, you're quite an expert on the Tongan emerging players. Can you tell us who we should look for in that game?
No, seriously, Nick. I'm not sure if this is a broadcasting first, but we have just been referring to you as the Moose on this podcast. Is this your new broadcasting handle? And would you like to share with our vast audience where it came from?
It came from my erstwhile colleague across the floor, Stephen Jones, who I believe was given the title first and then decided to shift it seamlessly across.
One thing that really interests me about this weekend and next week indeed is when you speak to the Lions players at the moment, they are totally at home, or at least they say they are totally at home, with the idea that they can lose games and take it on the chin. They say, we lose, we learn more, we get better. Now, that makes sense, but only so far. If you lose and then you lose again and then you lose again, at some stage your self-belief goes and the momentum is eroded. You go backwards rather than forwards. The Lions tours haven't happened like this before, as we've said numerous times. How many times can they lose? If they lose on Saturday, which I think they will do, do they start to go backwards after that? What's your opinion on that, Nick?
I think that the Crusaders are obviously the strongest of the New Zealand super provinces, which is why I don't think that they will turn that corner and win at the weekend. But I do think that they will turn the corner after that and that they will get some traction going into the Test series.
Tom?
Well, looking at Slotty's perfectly packed suitcase, he's clearly had a plan for this tour where he is going to keep all of that in check and he's going to keep himself with firm foundations. It's going to be interesting to see as the tour progresses whether this unravels. As so far, he said it's stalled out. Well, the Lions haven't yet got this basis where they can build upon results and momentum heading into the Test series. So they need to start winning. I think Owen Farrell said earlier that they feel like they're going upwards on the graph of form, game plan and understanding. But they have to keep that going upwards. And it's so key to get that sort of... I'm now being gesticulated to pipe down. But they're so keen to keep that understanding in form.
Yeah, I don't buy this thing that you can keep on losing. I mean, every game you lose, it means that you're relying more on just a complete one-off shot performance to recover it. I think they've got to stop losing. Otherwise, they're really in trouble. But I'm confident they'll win on Saturday. And as I say, the tour's on the road. But the thing is, you show me someone who says we can accept defeat and I'll show you someone who's just been beaten. So, you know, that was quite profound.
Where did you get that from?
I just made it up.
No, you didn't.
I'd made it up when I was waiting for Tom to sort out the Tongan. It was Jock McTavish in the Morning Herald. No, they can't keep on losing, full stop. But they won't have... The question is superfluous because they'll win this weekend.
Okay, I think we're going to call it... Do we call it a wrap? Call it a wrap. Okay. Gents, thank you very much for coming to the 10th floor studio here and admiring my luggage, Tom. Perfectly folded shirts, clean socks. Thank you very much for tuning in to The Ruck again. The Lions play Saturday morning UK time, Saturday evening New Zealand time. We are back next Monday to talk about that game and ahead of the Highlanders game in Dunedin on Tuesday. We'll see you soon. Have a great weekend.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Off Air, the podcast with Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
You eat cheese in the sink?
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh, no,
yes. How would that go in the booth?
Badly. Go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.